So if you would, turn in your Bibles, please. In fact, tonight, and I want to say how much I do appreciate Sister Lisa. She always does a great job when it comes to the matter of posting our services. Seems like she always finds exactly the right picture to match. But this evening, I might kind of wear you out a little bit because I'm referring this evening to three passages of Scripture. Of course, y'all don't mind turning, do you? This is Wednesday night study, so I know you don't mind. This evening, I'm going to be looking at Psalm chapter 1, verse number 4. Psalm 1, verse 4. And then Matthew 6, verse 30. Matthew 6, verse 30. And then Matthew 8, and verse number 10. So, this evening, those three passages of Scripture will be my primary biblical references as we spend a little time tonight studying our way through a topic which I certainly believe, and I have peace from the Lord to believe, that the subject tonight is one that certainly ties right in with our topic on Wednesday night. This evening, my message is, it's a threefold type message. Here it is. It's no faith, little faith, and much faith. No faith, little faith, and much faith. We want to see what the Bible has to say about that particular subject matter in terms of the issue of some that have no faith, some that have little faith, and then some that have great faith. So that's going to be our study this evening. Now, in that Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 4 passage, here's what it says. It says, the ungodly are not so. Now, to really understand verse number 4, you would have to, of course, reflect on what it says in verses 1 through 3, because it talks about the godly. Talks about how the godly is like a tree planted by the rivers of water and so forth. And then it says the ungodly are not so. So the ungodly are in a category that is a total contrast to the category of the godly. We'll look at that in just a moment, but let's pray. Father, tonight we come to you in prayer. We thank you this evening for the opportunity to have this Bible study. We do pray, Lord, that you would sustain and minister to the needs of Kendra, dear Lord. We ask you to bless her. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just continue to meet needs this evening. Thank you for the good report on the Millers, on their missionary deputation and the success of it, and how, Lord, you're providing their needs, and continue, Lord, to bless them as they spend these times in the States working on their support. We know that you're in charge of everything, and we believe that you will supply all of their needs. So, Father, now tonight, would you bless us, help us to understand a little bit better what it means to really, truly trust God, and not to have little faith, but to have great faith. So, Father, now would you bless this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been emphasizing, Brother Bruce and myself, we have been emphasizing continually in these Wednesday night studies that every biblical message is tied in somehow, some way with faith. Every biblical message. It's a matter of receiving the message by faith. Everything we do in the Christian life, we understand, according to what the Bible teaches, is that the Christian life is a faith experience. So everything that we do. Now, so faith is a subject that is certainly 100% relevant to who we are as God's people and what we expect to do for the Lord. Faith is not a situation to where it's on and off, like turning a light on and off. But it's every single day. In fact, the Bible even says in Psalm chapter 62, verse number 8, it says, trust in Him at all times. Trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, or think on these things. So we're told to trust in Him at all times. We can never drop the guard. We have to constantly be trusting Him. And trusting, obviously, is referencing believing Him, having faith in Him, trusting Him. Every human being is in one of three categories when it comes to the matter of faith. Every human being. the three categories that we're studying tonight would be the category of no faith, the category of little faith, and then the category of great faith. Now, no faith is seen in that Psalm 1, verse 4 passage. The ungodly are not so. So those would be the ones that are guilty of no faith. And I'll talk about that in just a few moments. Now, the category of little faith, we can see that brought out in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 30, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" So there we actually have the statement, little faith. So thus far, we've seen there are those in the category of no faith. Then there are those in the category of little faith, and I'm applying that tonight to the people of God. God's people can have little faith. Then, Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 10, that's a category of great faith. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And you remember the account Pastor Bruce preached on not long ago about the centurion. And his faith was commended. So this is a passage here that references that account of the centurion. But I'll go ahead and read it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." So a reference to the faith of the centurion. Now let's begin this evening with the first category that we're looking at. Since our subject is on faith, let's briefly talk about those that are in the category of no faith. The Bible says in Psalm 1:4, the ungodly are not so. They're not like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The ungodly are not in the category of the blessed person. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away, the scriptures say. So that would be the no faith category. Now, when we talk about no faith, I'm talking about essential saving faith. You see, there are people tonight that perhaps we could say they do have faith, they do believe to a degree. But when I'm teaching or talking about no faith, I'm talking about no essential saving faith. In other words, a person without saving faith. We exercise faith every day in something or someone, but I'm not talking about the something or the someone. I'm talking about a saving faith, essential saving faith. There are multitudes of people tonight that are in the category of no faith. They have no essential saving faith. The ungodly, as I've said, are the opposite of the righteous. Their way will perish. It's a way that will perish. Psalm 1, verse number 6, the ungodly shall perish. What a terrible thing to think of perishing. Do you know, I've come to believe that very few people know the biblical definition of the word ungodly. Very few people. The average person you talk to does not really understand what it means to be ungodly. I'm talking about the true biblical definition. Every day, without exception, we hear on the news, we watch on the television, we're hearing constantly about people committing heinous crimes, doing terrible things. And we certainly would say those people are ungodly, and rightly so. You know, for people that can do what they're doing, terrible crimes against humanity, harming children. And there's been just a siege of terrible things we're hearing on the news lately. So these people, yes, they are ungodly. But I want to point something out tonight. Do you realize that murder, now think through what I'm about to say here. Murder does not send a sinner to hell. Murder does not. Do you know that David himself was guilty of murder? He had Uriah killed, didn't he? So you see, murder does not send a sinner to hell. And I want to be clear about this. Unbelief is what sends a sinner to hell. A person doesn't go to hell because they commit adultery, because they commit murder, because they do terrible things. They go to hell because they are guilty of unbelief. Now, the Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the core sin that's worse than anything else is a sin of unbelief. And I'll also make this statement at this time. A person does not have to sin to make them a sinner. They sin because they're already a sinner. And it's good that we know that. They are condemned already. And they will potentially lose their soul. Now it's a given. Unsaved people cannot be expected to walk by faith because the unsaved person are already guilty of the cardinal sin of unbelief. So how could you expect an unsaved person to walk by faith? They're already under the sentence of condemnation. We tend, this is how the average person thinks. I'm not talking about you folks in this church because you all are well taught and you know this. But the average person you meet, I'm talking about religious person, there's a common tendency to believe that the greater track record of sinning makes a person more likely to be a candidate for hell, and that a fewer sinning track record makes a person a better candidate for heaven. That's how the average person thinks. If you have a terrible track record, that makes you more of a candidate for hell. And if you have less of a bad track record, that makes you more of a candidate for heaven. That's how people think. The person who lives a good, upright life, yet has never had a Bible salvation experience, and I'm about to make a bold statement here. So I'll back up and repeat it. A person who lives a good, upright life, but has never had a Bible salvation experience of salvation, is just as much of a candidate for hell as a Colorado terrorist or the woman who killed her children recently, we've heard on the news. We need to know that. One sin, and one sin alone, condemns and classifies one as ungodly. And that is the sin of unbelief. Many people, among unsaved people, have some faith. Some will say, yes, I believe there's a God. Yes, I believe in creation. Yes, I believe there was a man called Jesus who came and died on a cross. They will say, yes, I believe those things. But do you know that people who have a faith like that, that doesn't go far enough to include the fact they're a sinner and they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, a person who has that kind of a faith is as much of a dangerous position as a person that has no faith, because it is because it's still not faith in essential truth. We don't go to heaven because we believe there's a God. We don't go to heaven because we believe Jesus came. We don't go to heaven because we believe the Bible. That's not why we go. We go to heaven because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we're a sinner, and trusting Him as our Savior, we place our trust in Christ's finished work. So a person can be a believer and still wind up and go to hell if they have not exercised essential saving faith. Faith must be anchored in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it is a case of no faith. No essential faith. And that's a terrible category to be in. This world's full of people in that category. People who traipse into church every Sunday. people who go through the motions, people who have a religious system in their life, let's say, people who may read their Bible, people who may be a member of a church, people who may have already followed I'm not going to say followed the Lord in baptism, because you have to be saved to follow the Lord in baptism, but people who have been baptized and done all of these things, but many of them will not get to heaven. And I don't say that judgmental. I say that through what the Bible teaches. There still has to be essential faith in Christ's finished work. Don't forget that. Otherwise, an individual is in the no faith category. Now, number two, little faith. In this Matthew chapter 6 passage, Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." He's talking there to his disciples. And it's a terrible thing to have to say to the disciples, or to have to be thinking that even today there are Christians who have little faith. Has my faith ever been small? Yes. And I dare say everyone is here. We've all been guilty of little faith. But you know, really, coming back to what the Bible does teach, little faith is unjustified for Christians. It's unjustified. It really should not be the case. The old hymn reminds us that peace is forfeited by prayerlessness. You remember that old hymn that we sing sometime? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, that song reminds us that peace is forfeited by prayerlessness. People, Christians who do not pray, forfeit their peace, the peace of God. Prayer, among other things, is to be an exercise of faith. We are to pray in faith, believing. So prayer itself requires faith. Now, James says in James 1:6, "But let him ask in faith." So when we pray, when we ask, the Bible says we're to do so in faith. Note this. It says, "Nothing wavering." Nothing wavering. "For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with a wind and tossed." So our praying is not effective if we pray and we waver, or if we pray and we don't believe. I mean, really, when we pray for rain, if we want to be quite honestly, we need to pray. We need to be praying for rain and carrying an umbrella if we really believe. You know, we need to pray believing. And there's a key, by the way, as to how our faith can be strengthened, and I'll touch on that shortly here. Those little in believing are usually little in praying. A person that's little in believing is usually little in praying. Those with little faith tend to be more restless, and they tend to have more anxiety. Those with little faith. Those with little faith usually are the ones ignoring the source of faith. You say, what is the source of faith? The source of faith is the Scriptures. All of you know what Romans 10:17 says. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So as a general rule, if a person is little in faith, they are ignoring the source of faith. Our faith is not nurtured by anything that we do or anything that we expect others to do. Our faith, if it's going to ever be nurtured, it has to be nurtured by the source book of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It probably would shock us all, including ourselves personally, if we really focused on how little we really do read the Bible. I believe today there's a famine in the land, in many ways, when it comes to the matter of the Word. We have more Bibles in this country, Bible bookstores, Bible churches. Most people have more than one Bible, maybe four or five Bibles in their home. But yet, we're living in a time that people just do not read their Bible. Christians don't read their Bible like they should. No wonder we have little faith, because we're ignoring the source of our faith. So you see, it's important. Those with little faith usually can be traced to the fact they're not reading, they're not studying their Bible. And they use excuse like, I don't understand it. Well, keep on reading it, and even though you don't understand it, God will see fit to bless you anyway, because He honors and blesses His Word anyway, even if we don't understand it. Something wonderful about the Bible. It is supernatural. And even we can be reading it and not understand a thing, but the Spirit of God has something to work with. It just reminds me of the creation of this earth, of how the Bible says, at creation, the Spirit of God brooded over the waters. And I like to compare it this way. I believe the Spirit of God broods over the water of the Word. And when we get serious about the Word, He broods over it. And I believe that our faith will supernaturally be increased as we get more in the habit of studying and reading the Word of God. Those with little faith also usually gripe more than they're grateful. Those with little faith. Those with little faith normally lack the peace of God. They lack the peace of God. I visited a preacher last week. And this preacher has been a friend of mine for over 50 years. His daughter called me and told me that her father was wanting me to preach his funeral. So I went over to see this preacher. And this preacher now is over 80. And I'm sitting in his room, and he's discussing his funeral service. This preacher has a debilitating and terminal illness. He may be here a lot longer, but who knows? But he's aware of the fact that he could very well be in the last ages or the last part of his life. He's got a debilitating disease. But this preacher, I've known him for many years. We've been good friends. And there's something unique about our friendship. This particular preacher, and you notice I haven't called his name yet. You all probably know him. And I'm not going to mention his name. You don't need to know his name. You just need to know he's out there. But anyway, there's something unique about this preacher. We can just look at each other and laugh. That is a fact. He's a comical person. And I'm in his room talking to him. He's talking about his funeral service, and he still has his humor. He still has not changed one bit. In fact, he even told me, he said, when you preach my funeral, he says, if you want to, you can even laugh. That's what he told me. But I'll tell you something, volumes were made in that one statement. He let me know that he still has God's peace. He let me know that he's not pushing any panic buttons. He let me know that he's enjoying the Lord, and God will take him when he's ready. And it doesn't bother him at all talking about his funeral, because he knows that he's in God's hands, and he knows he's preached the book for years. He's practicing what he's preached, and he simply has the peace to know that it's in a sense... it's nothing that should cause him to lose 1 minute of sleep. But he wanted me to preach his funeral. I look at this preacher and I think he is an example of a person that has great faith. He is a person that has not allowed the issues of life to rob him of his joy, even talking about his death. Now that's the peace of God there. You know, faithlessness results in the absence of the peace of God. It always does. Jesus rebuked the little faith in his disciples when he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." He actually called it that. Little faith, by the way, tends to dive headfirst in the sea of worry. Little faith, accounts for the restlessness and the fear and the anxiety that many Christians undergo. Little faith is unjustified. It's displeasing to the Lord. Little faith, and here's the context of that Matthew's passage there. Little faith is displayed when earthly things become a priority. Read it, read the passage. Basically, when earthly things become a priority, little faith is being displayed. Jesus repeats the words constantly, take no thought, 3 times in Matthew chapter 6. Take no thought. We're told to take no thought about what we're to wear or what we're to eat. We're told to take no thought about tomorrow. And then he illustrates his care for creation. Talks about how he feeds the birds. He takes care of the creatures that he's made. And if he feeds the birds, he'll feed his children. He'll take care of his children. The same God who clothes the flowers with a bright clothing of beauty is going to clothe his children. If God is committed to taking care of physical creation, we've got to understand tonight God will take care of the highest form of his creation, namely his redeemed ones. The same God who cares for us today will take care of us tomorrow. A perfect God, by the way, has to do what he's promised. He's promised it. He'd be less than perfect if he didn't fulfill it. His providential care of physical creation argues of even a greater care of his blood-bought people. His word, the precious word of God, is more than just a pious cliche to put in a motto and hang it on a wall in a person's room, but it's rather a promise that has ever been as sacred as a command. The great promises should encourage the Christians to choose to walk by faith rather than to be charged with being guilty of little faith. We ought to be walking by faith. The Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's Psalm chapter 84, verse number 11. And then, here's a good one. I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seen begging bread. That's Psalm 37, verse number 25. Now finally this evening, category number 3, great faith. I'll close out with this one. In Matthew chapter 8, you'll need to read the context. The centurion was commended for his great faith. And there's something very, very important about that passage. He was a commander over 100 men in the Roman army. That made him a soldier. That made him a soldier. Okay. Here's the point. I see it as a request appropriate for a soldier that he would simply ask the Lord, you give the command, and my servant will be healed. I see this man, this commander, this soldier, I see him acting like a soldier. I see him respecting command. I see him to the point to where he's actually believing Jesus doesn't actually have to go and see the person that he's concerned about. Jesus just gives a command. Now that's just like a good soldier to obey command. So he's a soldier. He who ordered knew how to obey. This commander over 100 men, he who ordered, he knew also how to obey. He trusted at face value the Lord's command. Here's what he said. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He had all of the respect in the world for a command. And you and me tonight are soldiers of the cross, and we ought to respect the commands of God. He believed in the power of the Lord's command. His humility is also expressed. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. He says, I'm not even worthy. You can't be the person that has faith and humility all in the same package. We believe God, but we also walk humbly before the Lord. Great faith is connected to a humble servant who functions as a soldier, and he was a soldier to start with. Great faith is found in a soldier of the cross who humbly respects the commander and treats his commands as sacred. Here's what the centurion basically said, and I'm going to be done here. This centurion said this. He said, as men obey my orders, I believe in your orders. As men obey my orders, I've come to believe that the seas obey your orders. The winds calm. I've come to believe. So if men obey this inferior man, he's saying if people obey me, an inferior person, how much more should they obey you? And he's also thinking too, since your commands are always powerful, then I believe that the diseases of this servant of mine who is stricken with affliction, I believe that the diseases will also have to obey you and they'll have to calm. In other words, that's a soldier there who obeys command. Great faith is exercised on the part of Christians who live in ways appropriate to be called a soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier in the military is not worth his salt if he doesn't obey command and respect command. And so I find it appropriate that this man was a soldier. And I mean, no wonder Jesus said he hadn't seen so great faith in Israel. I mean, the man didn't have to, Jesus didn't necessarily have to go to where the servant was. Just speak the word and the servant will be healed. Well, there's no faith. There's little faith, and then there's great faith. We ought to pray that God will help us all to be men and women of great faith. Not little faith, but great faith. Let's pray. Father, I pray this evening you'll see fit to use this message to cause us who know the Lord to see the great need that we have to read, to study, to trust, to walk by faith. And Lord, as we're to walk by faith, it's a step-by-step faith walk. It's to walk by faith, Lord, help us to understand the walk is about steps, taking steps one at a time. So, Lord, help us to learn to trust you with every step. Father, bless now the message. Use it. Speak to the hearts of someone that could be listening this evening that's never been saved, that's in the category of no faith. May they get saved tonight. Bless the word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.